Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode and edition of Quest Youth Radio. And this evening, as every time we come on, we have a highlight of educational segment to let you know what's going on. Good evening, Walter. Are you there? Well, I know he is. Just not hearing him right now, but he'll be here in just one moment. And Walter, and while we're waiting for Walter, I just want to do an intro. A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there are and is no medium, there are no vibrations. Walter. Okay. It doesn't seem that Walter's coming through here. Okay, Walter. Okay, hello, Walter. Okay, apparently we have some kind of technical difficulty. So, Walter.
Hello?
Yes, hello? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm here. Good evening. Yeah, I just did an intro. Go for it, Walter. Take over.
Well, I just want to start off by saying I did the definition of colonial about two episodes ago, and I gave my take on what do I think of when colonialism leads to me. And after that, Mr. May said he had a different interpretation of colonialism, and I just want you to be able to help me share that so we could combine our ideas and our thoughts about that word.
Okay. Well, go for it.
No, I'm asking you, like, because I remember we both, you know, we came together and I did colonialism and you were actually surprised of how I interpreted and you thought I was going to do it another way. And just what was your way of interpreting the word colonialism, if you could tell the audience?
Well, the word colonialism basically talks about it relates to someone coming into someone else's country and basically giving them, not giving them their religion, telling them what they can and cannot do, and basically just taking over. And when I looked at the word colonialism, I don't remember exactly how you described it. Right, I think you just gave the dictionary definition, right? And then one of the things that I had spoken to Mr. Harris about was, well, how does colonialism relate to what was going on here in America with the colonies? Because this country was basically founded on colonialism, and what we discussed was, yes, indeed. But what happened when colonialism was originally brought to America, it was overthrown, and where the UK was basically in charge, and the Queen of England and the laws governed England were governing the 13 colonies as well, until we had a war, right, which separated the put together the 13 colonies uniting to fight against colonialism and establish a constitution. But other places around the globe that have been colonized by others were not so successful as here in the Americas.
Okay, thank you, because I remember. We because you have people who, I just see it all the time, and it just makes no sense to me how somebody could tell somebody to leave the land that you stole, and that is not even yours. And I seen it today, too, and I just see it all the time, and it just doesn't make any sense to me how you could say something like that, even though all you did was kill, murder, and just take over, but it wasn't originally yours. And I just want to thank you for sharing that. But moving on in the show, since we don't have that much time, I want to talk about 10 little known facts, Black history facts at that, according to PBS.org. Now, starting at number one, I want to talk about Rosa Parks. And before there was Rosa Parks, there was actually Claudette Colvin. And a lot of people believe that Rosa Parks was the first to, or she was the only person who refused to give up her seat to another man. But actually, Claudette Colvin, a person who's not talked about as much, was actually the first. In 1955, she was a 15-year-old schoolgirl who refused to move her seat to the back of the bus. And number two, Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Had a Dream, was actually improvised. It was Wednesday, August 28th, 1963, when 250,000 Americans united at Lincoln Memorial for the final speech of the March on Washington. And Martin Luther King Jr. stood at the podium, and he eventually pushed his notes aside and started to improvise. Coming in at number three, the earliest record of the protest against slavery was by the Quakers in 1688. Quakers, also known as the Society of Friends, have a long history of abolition, it was four Pennsylvania friends from Germantown who wrote the initial protest in the 17th century. They saw the slave trade as the grave injustice against their fellow man and used the golden rule to argue against such inhumane treatment, regardless of skin color. Going in at number four, of the 12.5 million Africans shipped to the New World during the transatlantic slave trade, fewer than 388,000 arrived in the United States. And that was, of course, due to when they were moving, they were just the harsh treatment of them on the slave ships being just compacted together. A lot of them actually committed suicide and died along the process because they just couldn't take it anymore because it was such a terrible experience. And next, the diverse history of historically black colleges and universities. A lot of people don't know, but during the Great Depression, when Jewish teachers were trying to find work, due to some of the racism against them and some of the hate against Jewish people, a lot of people don't know, but professors will actually go to HBCUs and teach and participate in HBCUs. A lot of people don't know that, but they did.
Right, so the historical black colleges were actually very diverse, more diverse than the Ivy League colleges that are in existence today during that time period.
Exactly, right. And
Hold on. We have some callers on the line. Let's see who's on the line. Can anybody speak up there? Going once? Going twice?
Yeah. Hi. This is Walter's dad, Calvin, on the line.
Hey, talk to us.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out with you guys. You guys just kind of do your thing, and you're doing a great job, and I'm just listening in.
Oh, okay, good enough. I just wanted to – I have somebody else over there, but I don't know who it is. But, Walter, thank you, Mr. Pierce, for – oh, okay, there you go. Who is that, Val?
Yes, it's Val, and I did want to hear more information about the last history fact that Walter just read. I'm not familiar with that, and I really would like to hear more about it.
Well, Walter, backtrack just a little bit and just rehash that before you move on.
Okay, I got it. So basically in the 1930s, it was, of course, the Great Depression going on, and many of the Jewish, they came to the United States looking for jobs, but, of course, there weren't really any for them. So they would end up migrating south, and more than 50 found positions at HBCUs in the south. At HBCUs, they were actually appointed jobs. Jewish people that weren't originally in the United States came over and were able to get jobs there. So when people think of just HBCUs as just African-Americans going there, that is not really the case. It was also Jewish people and people from other countries coming in and being a part of the college.
Okay.
And,
yeah, go ahead, Walt.
Okay, so going to the next one. One of the four cowboys was black despite the stories told in popular books and movies. Now, this one, in fact, it is believed that the real Lone Ranger was inspired by an African-American named Bass Reeves. Reeves has been born a slave but escaped west during the Civil War, where he lived in what is known as Indian Territory. He eventually became a deputy U.S. Marshal and was a master in disguise, an expert marksman, and a Native American companion, and rode a silver horse. His story was not that unique, however. In the 19th century, the Wild West drew enslaved blacks with the hope of freedom and wages. When the Civil War ended, freedom came west with the hope of a better life where the demand for skilled labor was high. These African Americans made up at least a quarter of the legendary cowboys who lived dangerous lives facing weather, rattlesnakes, and outlaws while they slept under the stairs of cattle herds to market. And coming in next, it was the first licensed African-American female pilot was actually Bessie Coleman. Now, Bessie Coleman was born in Atlanta, Texas in 1892, and she grew up...
Wait a minute. Is that saying that she was the first female pilot?
Yes.
Or the first black female pilot?
No, the first African-American licensed female pilot.
Okay.
And I'll do this. And she was born in Atlanta, Texas in 1892. And she moved to Chicago at 23 to seek her fortune, but found little opportunity there as well. Wild tales of flying exploits from returning World War I soldiers first inspired her to explore aviation. And she faced a double stigma in that dream, being both African-American and a woman. But she ended up overcoming all of those challenges and obstacles to officially gain her license and being the first African-American female pilot. And next,
Walter, hold on. You've just given us a number of different facts of black people in history with 45 seconds before we do a wrap on the show. I need you to stand on your feet, think on your feet, and tell me your interpretation, your perspective of why you chose these people, why they're important in history, and why was it important for you to deliver this in the podcast tonight.
All right, so first to start, it was an article done on PBS, and they list all these, first, I didn't know actually a couple of these. I knew some of these because, of course, of the research I've done and the things I've heard from other people. And hearing some of these people, I noticed that, like, a lot of people, they don't talk about people like Claudette Coleman, Bessie Coleman. They don't talk about the Cowboys, Bass Reeves. They don't talk about these people. You don't hear about them a lot. And it's always important to be able to share these types of people able to gain knowledge and gain exposure to who these people were so you could stay educated.
Right. And if I'm just, I'm going to add that it's so important for people in history who are lesser known figures in history to be represented, not just on our podcast, but also in our schools. And it has a way of changing the cultural dynamics of our society when you know that African Americans were an integral part of establishing the history and making of this country. How's that, Walter?
Good, but of course we have to get ready to wrap up. It is 6:45. Make sure you tune in on Saturday. Actually Friday night at 6:30 for the next show. And you know, that's it. So I guess we'll do our right now.
Yeah. Yes. So I need everybody to chime in when I count to three and say Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. And thank you for the listenership, to the listenership that for tuning in, and for those who will be tuning in later. Right. 1, 2, 3. Quest Youth Radio is
the best youth radio.
There we go. Thank you very much, Walter. Great job. And we'll see you, that's you, the audience, on Friday evening. Okay, that's a wrap.
Good night.
Good night.